Preachers are public speakers, and public speakers can only learn from observing other public speakers. Chapel is an apprenticeship in public speaking, and future preachers do themselves a professional favor by being in this place. In election year, we can listen to public speakers. In my experience, the memorable orators were Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, Barry Goldwater, Everett Dirksen, and Ronald Reagan. Their styles were completely different, which might suggest that there is no one way of preaching. Churchill was the master of oratorical deception. He peered over the top of his glasses and shuffled his papers, and in the fury of disarray, he took out his opponents one by one. Perhaps the best impromptu speech was delivered by Douglas MacArthur in the early 1950s. The general, who was imperial in accomplishment and appearance, had been out of the country for about 10 years and had become a mythic figure in the public mind. Relieved of his command, unfairly in the minds of most, he addressed a joint session of the Congress and was given the glory of a ticker tape parade up Fifth Avenue. His riveting farewell speech at West Point to the cadets ended with these words: "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." The limelight dimmed, and as at his death, he slipped into the endnotes of history. The cement in which we preserve our memory soon turns to sand. Death brings an inevitable oblivion, but being forgotten while there is breath in our nostrils is the taste of death. Cheers, three-run TV Boston watering hole, is a favorite place for its clientele because everybody knows your name. But life is a series of being in places where nobody knows who you are. Basic military training, college orientation week, a new neighborhood, nobody knows your name. Sometimes we are forgotten by the people who know us. In being relieved of his right to teach, the late president of this seminary, Dr. Robert Preuss, experienced a devastating sense of being forgotten. Peter forgot Jesus. "I know not the man." And this was not a senior moment for the senior apostle. Jesus was simply no longer useful for his purposes. Perhaps we are no longer useful for God's purposes. "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." Or in other words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We conservative Lutherans don't change our minds very often. But Isaiah, like St. Paul, could change his mind right in the middle of a thought. God is like a mother, and mothers never forget their children. Great comparison, but wrong. Mothers do. At the end of a school day, every teacher has had abandoned children on her hands, whose mother has forgot to pick them up. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? But even mothers may forget. God learns nothing, so he forgets nothing. That's what the doctrine of omniscience is all about. But life is a series of moments in being forgotten by God, or so it seems. This morning, the families of those nearly 20 sailors killed by terrorists in Yemen experience abandonment. "The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me." But we cannot measure God by our feelings. God was closest to Jesus in the abandonment of the cross. In the moment of abandonment, God was proving himself to be the Father of Jesus and by giving us the Holy Spirit from that cross, gave us a most perfect revelation of his Trinitarian existence in the ignominy of that cross. The synonym for Eli Eli Lama Sabachthani is not only my Lord has forgotten me, but Emmanuel, God is with us. But God does not merely find a place for us in some corner of his memory, but he holds us in his hands. Behold, I have engraven you on the palms of my hands. If the spiritual, he's got the whole world in his hands, is not theologically sophisticated for you, try the Venite. The sea is his, and his hands form the dry land. God's hands are engraven with the prints of the nails of the cross. And from the hands of Jesus, which once enwrapped children, now flow baptism-saving water, which makes us God's own children and heirs of eternal life. Just as the hands of the apostles once fed the multitude with loaves, so our hands feed God's people with loaves, which will multiply on Christian altars until the bread of life which we taste now with our tongues will be seen by our eyes. And hands which were once extended over the 12 to make them apostles will soon be extended over the majority of you to make you ministers. Because God once said, behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands, Jesus could confidently say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And in falling asleep tonight, and for that night which for us which will have no morning or no dawn, we can say, into your hands I commit myself, my body and soul and all things. Some of our church documents, the official ones, call the use of hands a human custom. I think we'll have to think that one through again. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me, but God says, I will not forget you because I have graven you on the palms of my hands.